I've got a victory living inside of me. I got the greater one. I can overcome. This ain't no time to turn back, no place to grow slack. I gotta keep pressing on till every battle is won.
Good morning, class.
Good morning, Brother Heath.
Hi, I'm Keith Moore, and we welcome you to Faith School. Faith School's the place where my spirit is fed, where my faith grows stronger, and where I learn how to be an overcomer. Thank God, winning is better than losing, right? Overcoming is far better than being overwhelmed and overcome. And if you have felt weak, and if you've dealt with the same thing for a long time, and you've gotten weary, don't let discouragement come into you. I know sometimes, you know, a few months or years, a couple of years seems like a long time, but in the big scheme of things, it's a blip. Even our entire life, the Bible said, is like a vapor. Now you see it, now you don't. The big thing is that we don't give up, that we hold to our faith in God. You'll see in Jesus' ministry, there were people that had the same problem 12 years, but they got completely healed and delivered. People that had the same problem 18 years. Well, that's almost two decades. But in a moment, they were completely delivered and completely healed. No matter how long it's been that way, that doesn't mean it can't be fixed. Doesn't mean you can't be delivered, you can't be healed. All things are possible with God. All things are possible to him or her that believes. And I believe. Hallelujah. Said out loud, Father God, I do believe in you. And I thank you for your mercy and that you never fail. Lord, we ask for utterance today and for the quickening of your spirit and for answers and direction, just what you know we need most right now. We ask it in Jesus' name. Thank you for it. Amen. Amen. We've been on a series now for a number of weeks that we call Faith for Provision. And we're going one by one through 30 reasons from the scriptures why we are sure abundant provision is always God's will for us all. Never does God take any pleasure in seeing somebody go hungry. Never does God take any kind of pleasure in seeing people pressured in lack and impoverished. Never is lack and poverty a blessing in disguise. It's a curse. It's a curse. And the reason you see so much of it is because so much of the earth is in defiance of God and in rebellion of God, refuse to even believe on him, much less listen to him or keep his commandments or do his things and his ways. But in the midst of all this lack and problem and stress and turmoil, God can sustain you. Hallelujah. God can not only help you survive, he can bless you to the point of fullness and overflow.
Amen.
But it matters what you believe. It matters. It matters what you believe, matters what you say about him and your things. And so we've gone one by one through, actually we're down to number 14 now in our study of the reasons why we're convinced. We talked about the Lord being our shepherd, the goodness of God, fatherhood of God, the creation of God. You know, if God liked lack, that's what he had created to begin with. He'd have created bleak, right? Lack, empty, desolate. And that's what heaven would be too, if that's what he likes, if that's his will. No. He likes gold. Is that right? Pearls.
Yes.
Jewels. Splendor. Riches. If you don't like it, you're going to have a tough time in heaven. Right? Because it's everywhere. Mm-hmm. And he said, pray that his will would be done on earth, even as it is in heaven. We talked about that, God's will in heaven. We talked about the God of Abraham, that we're the seed of Abraham, and that blessing belongs to us. We talked about the blessing of tithing and honor and riches and wisdom and wealth and the names of God and being an imitator of God. And if you weren't with us for all that, go online, faithschool.org, and all of these are there with many other lessons on faith. No charge. No commitment from you. It's just there for you to see and hear, and it'll help you catch up with where we are today. We're down to reason number 14 in our study, and that is that God is the God of restoration. Why don't you say that out loud? My God,
My God is
the God of restoration.
God of restoration.
The God of restoration. What does that mean? The word restore is actually the word shalom, and the word shalom comes from it, is connected to it. And so shalom is the word that's translated peace, and it means wholeness and safety and even in prosperity. Well, shalom has the same kind of idea, except there is this completing and restoring of shalom. Mm-hmm. And so we saw in Joel, the second chapter yesterday, that the Lord had told his people when they returned to him that he was blessing them. He was going to rain on them, and their crops and their herds were going to flourish, and they were going to, their floors would be full, and their vats would overflow. He said, and I will restore to you the years that he talks about the locust and cankerworm and caterpillar and palmer worm had eaten up. The enemy's name is destroyer. And one of the blessings of tithing is that the Lord said he would rebuke the devourer for your sake. The enemy is the devourer and the destroyer. So when you see things being consumed, stolen, taken away, destroyed, that's not the work of God. That's the work of the thief. Jesus said, John 10:10, the thief doesn't come unless he's coming to steal and to kill and to destroy. Now, every one of those results in lack. Results in something missing, something lacking. If something's stolen from you, what's the result? Something's missing, right? Mm-hmm. Something's lacking that you had that now you don't have. Was that God?
No,
that's a thief. Mm-hmm. Killing. When something's killed, that's a life that's lost, that's no longer there. Destroying. When something's destroyed, then it's no longer there, available, useful, usable. It's destroyed. Every one of those, stealing, killing, destroying, results in lack. So how can lack ever be the will of God when it's the results of the work of the thief, the evil one? No, the work of God is blessing,
amen.
Empowerment,
yes.
Supplying,
yes.
Multiplying,
yes.
Increase.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
When God gets through with you, you're not missing something. Huh? You have more than what you had before.
That's right?
Right? Yes. He's the multiplier, not the thief. Can you see how devilish, how deceptive this idea about God taking from you is? It's making God to be like the enemy, making out that God is doing the same thing that the enemy's doing. That he uses it, he wants to use it for his purposes. No. Stealing is evil.
Amen.
Huh?
Yes.
Being a thief is wrong.
Yes.
and bad. And stealing, killing, destroying, all three of these result in lack. Notice with me in Luke, the 19th chapter, something very interesting. Luke 19, this is about a man named Zacchaeus. Our children sing about Zacchaeus. Wee little man, climbed up in a tree. Anybody heard that song? Well, he's a real guy. And he was a tax collector. And they were hated. Oh, they were so hated because it was common for them to take more than what was actually owed and pocket the difference. And so they were, you know, kind of universally hated. But Zacchaeus, you know, climbed up in the tree when Jesus was coming by. He wanted to see him and all the things that was going on. And the Lord told him, "You come down and I'm going to eat with you today." And man, this Zacchaeus was overjoyed because, you know, he's not used to people inviting him to their home. He's hated tax collector. But they're there, and Zacchaeus was so moved by Jesus' person and his presence and the words that he was saying while they were there that he was moved by the goodness of God to repentance. And so he stood up, and verse 8, Zacchaeus stood up and said, "Lord, behold, half of my goods I'm giving to the poor." Well, nobody asked him to do that. But see, money has been too big a deal to him. And he has done wrong things to get money. He's lied. He's stolen. I mean, how would you know that, Brother Keith? Well, I'm about to read the rest of the verse. It's there. But see, in the presence of the goodness of God, Jesus is not condemning him. It's just the presence of God, the goodness of God that shows up by contrast how wrong all these other things are. And if your heart's right, when you see it, you'll want to repent. Yeah. If your heart's not right, you refuse to repent, you'll want to get away from it. Mm-hmm. But he obviously there was something redeemable about him and his heart when he saw, and you know, he'd probably seen a lot of phoniness in the scribes and doctors of the law and all that. And sometimes people think that justifies their phoniness and their bad. People say, well, everybody's a hypocrite. Everybody's a liar. Everybody's out to just get what they can get. But he saw Jesus is not like that. This is somebody that's true and real and right and good. And after just being with him for, I don't know, an hour or whatever it was or two in the house, getting ready for the meal, that kind of thing, he's so moved by the presence of the Lord and by goodness that he gets up and he says, "Lord, I'm going to give half of what I got to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation..." Why bring that up? because just what we had talked about, they are the king's representative, the government in power, their representative. So if they tell you you owe this, you have to pay it. There's no choice. And so they would lie. And if you owed $3,000, they'd say you owed $5,000. And you can't argue with them. They're the authority. You had to pay them and they'd pocket that $2,000. And so he says, "And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I what? Restore him what?
Fourfold.
Fourfold. So that means that if he lied and swindled somebody for $2,000, that he's going to pay that person how much?
$8,000.
$8, And, you know, how long's he been doing this? I don't know. We're talking, this adds up, right? And yet, he is sincere. And the Lord knew he was sincere. Verse 9, he said, this day salvation has come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. Whether he was acting like it or not, he had a right to covenant. He had a right to blessing. But he needed to repent. And he's willing to. The Lord didn't ask him to do this. But this was in the law. And we're going to see that in just a moment. Why fourfold? Why not five? Why not two? Because fourfold was the law. That's what God gave to Moses about how to restore. Everybody say restoration.
Restoration.
He said, I will restore him fourfold. Jesus said to this day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save. That word save is also translated made whole. Make whole. Can you see it's the same idea of restoration?
Yes.
The Son of Man is come to seek and make whole and save that which was lost. So, can you see the rightness, the trueness, the goodness of God going on here? Jesus just coming down the road. But the anointing's on him. The Spirit of God's on him and with him. And the presence of God is there. And, of course, his words. And Zacchaeus, everybody's heard, there's a crowd gathered around. And when the Lord says, come down, I'm going to eat with you today. Oh, he was elated. But while he was there, the Spirit of God, you know, the Bible talked about in one place where Jesus was preaching. And while he was teaching, the power of the Lord was present to heal them. So while he was speaking, the power was present. Well, that was going on here, but it wasn't a healing service. It was a restoration time. Can you see this? A time of restoration. And so that came into Zacchaeus' mind, and in the presence of purity and holiness and truth and right and goodness, he saw it clearly. I've been doing wrong. I've been lying. I've been stealing. And he had obviously been around the synagogue and the law enough to know about fourfold. And so he was so moved, he stands up in front of everybody. And he says, I'm going to paraphrase. He says, y'all all know me. I'm getting right today. I have seen the light. I'm going to give half of what I got to the poor. Now, he probably had a lot because he's been stealing and all that. And he said, anybody that I have lied about, and I lied about your bill, probably with some people there in the crowd, right? I lied about your tax bill. He said, I'm going to restore them fourfold. And boy, you know, probably a lot of people smiling, going, hey, you know. What does that mean? People are going to get money they weren't going to get. People are going to get money back they thought they had lost and was gone forever. Come on, can you see this? And in the midst of this, Jesus speaks up. He said, salvation is here today. Hallelujah. Salvation. Not because, now listen, people have taken this stuff and twisted it. He's not buying his way to heaven. You can't buy forgiveness. You can't buy salvation. You cannot. It's insulting to try. That's not what's going on here. Money was Zacchaeus' God. That's what he served. That was his idol. And he's done wrong things. He needed to repent. And in the light and presence of the Lord, he saw it. And he did. And the Lord said, salvation is come here today. And he said, and that's why I've come to seek and to save what was lost. See, that money was lost. Now it's restored. That was an example of what he's talking about. And is that God's will always in every situation that what was lost gets recovered.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Gets saved. Now let's go back to Exodus 22 and we'll look and see why Zacchaeus said, I'm going to restore him fourfold. That wasn't a random number that he just pulled out of the air. Exodus 22 and verse 1. This is the giving of the law, part of the law that God gave through Moses. And the book of Romans in the New Testament tells us that the law is good and right and holy. You'll hear some people today speak disrespectfully of the law and say, oh, you know, thank God we're not under the law. We're not under the law. Listen, dear, the law is good. There's never anything wrong with the law. The problem is people didn't keep it and failed to keep it. God's statutes are right. They are so perfectly fair. What many don't realize is that a lot of the laws and the standards that we know today, they came from the law. Laws that were made, if they're good and right, they came from what God showed. And here he shows, because, you know, prior to that, people were doing all kind of things, but there was no standard. There was no standard of right and wrong until the law was given. Now, man being unable to live up to the standard of the law had to have a Savior because of not keeping the law. And thank God Jesus came, and with him, grace and mercy and help. But everything God ever said in the law is good. Amen. And right. Yes. And fair and just. And it's a mistake to neglect it. It's a mistake to ignore it. You'll learn all kind of things by hearing how God thinks and what he says is good and not good and right and evil. And here he's giving, why give these things? Notice, Exodus 22, he said, if a man steals an ox or a sheep and kills it or sells it. Now let's just stop right there. Is that okay?
No.
Huh? Some, and of course, back then especially, a lot of people's wealth was in their livestock and their crops. More so even than today. And so he said, if that happens, somebody steals an ox or a sheep and they kill it or they sell it, he shall what?
Restore
what?
Five
oxen for an ox and what?
Four sheep
for a sheep. So restoration meant more than replacing. Huh? Now, if stealing's okay and no big deal, this wouldn't be here. What's God saying? He's saying stealing's wrong. Stealing's evil. Stealing's bad. And there needs to be restoration made if and when somebody does it. And it doesn't just need to be, okay, I stole your cow, here's a cow. Mm-mm. No, we need five cows. Huh? And this needs to make an impression on you that you do not decide to go steal another cow. Huh? Because if you decide to go steal five more cows, then you have to come up with 25 cows. Huh? And how many understand? It wouldn't take too much of this. You'd decide, I ain't going to steal cows. Right? I'm done stealing cows. It's too expensive. Right? Too expensive to steal a cow. Or a sheep. You steal a sheep and kill it or sell it. And he differentiated. We'll see in just a moment. But then he said, no, you got to replace that sheep with four. Not replace. You got to restore. You got to restore them with four sheep. Verse 4, if the theft be certainly found in his hand alive. So now he distinguishes between if you sold it or killed it or if it's still alive and it's possible for the person to get their cow or sheep back. If it's alive, whether it's an ox or ass or sheep, he shall restore double. So if the person's able to get their animal back, then it's not five or four, it's double. Because they do get to the one they had that they wanted back. But if the thief sold it or killed it, we're going to need five, right? Because now the owner's not going to get their animal back. And so that's can you see a more serious thing? Is this fair and right, what the Lord is giving here?
Yes.
It's perfectly fair and just. And why is he saying this like this? He's showing how bad stealing is and how that it is not excusable. It's not acceptable for any reason. Even, you know, the Bible talks about people being hungry and that kind of thing. That's not okay either. I mean, if you're found, Proverbs says, the thief have to restore sevenfold. So God's idea of restoration is not just replacement.
Right.
It's double. It's fourfold. It's fivefold. And the enemy did not want you to know this. Because he's the thief. Right?
Yes.
The enemy did not want you to know that God's will is that everything the enemy stole from you be replaced and then restored double or four times or five times. And many people won't believe it. They're like, no, that seems a stretch. It is written right here. Come on, y'all with me or not? God is the good God of restoration. Hallelujah. He will not only deliver you and sustain you and fill you and replace, but he will. What happened with Job? Didn't the devil come and steal all that from him?
Yes.
And what did God do in the end? Gave him twice. Instead of 7,000, what was it, sheep, I guess, whatever he had 14,000. Doubled. And it's God's will that what you lost be doubled back to you. Say it out loud. Lord, I'm open. I'm listening. I'm believing in restoration. Restore what was stolen. Double and fourfold and fivefold to your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God, praise God. Well, our time's up again today. Come back tomorrow. There's a lot more to see. And get ready for restoration.
I've got the victory living inside.
Thank you for joining us at Faith School. Class is dismissed for today, but you can watch this and other episodes of Faith School free of charge at faithschool.org. For more information, visit our website or call us at 941-702-7390.